care to our community for more than 35 years. Our mission is to empower individuals to achieve optimal health and well-being through personalized, compassionate, and innovative physical therapy services. We know you have the choice where you receive physical therapy, and we want to thank you for choosing PT Associates. Contact us at 620-208-7878. PT Associates of Emporia, located at the corner of 12th and Industrial.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
Live from the historic Roger Hartsook Interview Room on the former campus of the College of Emporia, this is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. And a good Saturday morning to you. The full crew is here. Blake Cripps, Tim Miller, Dylan Sherwood. Well, Tim, we weren't expecting or hoping to see Dylan today.
That's right. We wish he was still in Manhattan.
Dylan, yeah, we thought maybe you'd stay up there, but unfortunately, here you are. And as Chase County and one of the Lebo teams found out, it's hard to make it to Saturday at State.
It is. And actually, the team that the Chase County girls lost to, they're going to be playing for a state championship.
They sure are. I heard like they had a Bruna on their team. I'm like, how many freaking Brunas do they have up there?
Oh, Hanover?
I have talked. My first job was in Fairbury, Nebraska. And so I know all about the Hanover program. They've been great in so many things for so long because they were in our coverage area, and they were on. Back in my former life when I was a sports director, I had to do some of the things that Dylan's doing. So we had coaches' reports and all this stuff. So I got to talk to all those area coaches, and oh my gosh, there's always a Bruna
on Hanover.
Bruna's back at Hanover since when I was started in my career.
Yeah.
So that was not surprised to know that they were good. Obviously very, very talented team, but boy, we are very excited about the Olpe Eagles today with a chance to win a state championship.
Yeah, Chris Schmidt, of course, man, what a job he's done there, both football and basketball for that matter, and now this is a chance for, a third state
number
title.
Three since 2021.
And so he won it, I think, in 21 and 22, and now a chance to win it here in 25, and kudos to Coach Schmidt and the kids playing some good basketball.
Yes.
Heated up a little bit there in the second half yesterday, knocked down some big shots, and find themselves for a chance to win the whole thing. Unfortunately for the Lebo girls, tough one there.
It was, it was tough. We'll talk a little bit more about that. We are in studio here today with Tommy McClure. He is the head softball coach for Emporia High, and so we're going to give him the Taylor Scott treatment and let him go first. He's already here. Don't want to make him wait.
That's right.
Coming up later on in the show, CeCe Paroche, the head tennis coach for Emporia State. That's coming up. So we'll talk with Coach McClure now. Coach McClure, welcome to the show. Thanks so much.
Hey, thank you for having me on.
I'm going to move this mic a little bit closer to you. Dylan's going to check your audio before he runs in here.
Yep, Coach, I'll be there in a second.
Let's go ahead and, first of all, just talk about last season, 6-17 record, but obviously last year was a lot more about trying to establish culture, trying to get the foundation laid. Do you think that 2024 was successful in that endeavor?
Yeah, I do believe that it was. We had a last year that was, our goal was to, they had to get used to me and how I coach and everything like that. And so, you see the girls start buying in, and they're coming in and during the summer to get some work, getting them in the weight room during school year as well, and even some off seasons and stuff that they're working on. We got that foundation started. They know what's expected of them and we're still continuing to push that forward. And, I try to tell them, there's an expectation that we need, and you've got to meet it. And those girls are, starting to do that.
How's the first 2 weeks of practice been?
It's been a little bit different, this is the first year out of my 9-year career that I don't have a McClure on the team, the funny thing is, though, I've got all these other girls out. They'll step up and they do all the examples that we need for the new girls that are coming in. But, we're young in the infield and that, so that's kind of our focus right now. We've returned three of our starting outfielders and our pitchers back. So, you can't ask for much more than that. But, with a young infield, when we lost the three seniors. So now we've got some other girls that are going to step up to take those roles.
Going back even further, just off-season approach, your thoughts about how the kids worked in terms of getting ready for this season?
We had about, I want to say, 6-7 girls that played summer ball, you know, a lot of them for the Energy team. I know Liv has gone on from Energy, and she's going to be playing with the Queens in Topeka, and she's already been working with those. So, I mean, some of those girls have already been focused on, you know, what we got to do for the next season. I talked to them about, you know, even some of those who are, like, looking long-term. What, you know, their next stage if they want to go to college. And so a lot of them are starting to take that process in too. And so they're working, like I said, in the weight room, everywhere else to get there. The numbers are up in that weight room for our girls and that, but I'd still like to see that number go up even more.
We're talking with Tommy McClure. He is the head softball coach for the Emporia High Lady Spartans, 6-17 last year. And you mentioned some of these seniors that you lost, all second team selection, Addie Kermer, of course, now a Lady Hornet. Maydeen McClure was a senior last year who was an honorable mention. Clara Williams, you mentioned a couple of other seniors as well. Do you feel like you're starting to find the pieces in the way that you're going to replace that senior leadership? And what did those players mean in terms of trying to build this foundation for you as you build your program here?
Well, you know, like those three were, you know, they were pivotal because they were all leaders. You know, Maydeen and Clara, you know, had a lot of softball background, and Addie's just an athlete. And, you know, like I tell everybody, you know, I can take an athlete and teach them softball, but it's kind of hard the other way around. And so, you know, it was great to have them. And, you know, technically, the Maydeen and Addie were kind of like outfielders playing infield for us last year. You know, they just knew the game and they were athletic enough to play those positions. So this year, our focus is we're going to build that and those players in their position where we want them for the next few years. And we're starting to lay that groundwork. And, of course, we also have, you know, the next few years, we're going to be filtering in more talent as they come up from the Energy group that they're playing more summer ball. And so, you know, I think that was important. They showed the leadership that we needed in that, and the girls right now are taking that piece and they're carrying it on to the next level.
And can you talk about your seniors? How many seniors you got?
This year we have 3 seniors. We have Ryan Howe, who's, you know, right now working at second base. We have Juliana Hamlin, who, you know, will spot in. She may do some, you know, emergency pitching if we need it. She's also one of our backup outfielders. Bailey Schlesinger. I always get her, you know.
That's our,
a lot. We call, her Slushy, so that's, you know, that keeps it easy on coach. She's, you know, our returning first baseman as well this year. So those two key pieces there, working the infield helps, you know, and but, you know, we're looking at sophomores and freshmen and the other areas.
We'll try to get her name right when she has a big game for sports
yes.
that morning.
Yeah.
You mentioned a returning pitcher. And we talked to Anthony Marquez last week, and he was talking about the great pitching depth he has. I know you don't need as much depth in softball pitching-wise as you do maybe in baseball, but what about some girls who may get a chance to hopefully add depth to the pitching staff?
Yeah, you know, because like I said, you know, having a talent like Liv Barrett is just – I want to say that it's amazing, you know, because she's a great coachable kid and she does everything I need her to. But, you know, there's times that, you know, like if we're, you know, unfortunately on the bad end of a game and that, and we don't want to waste that arm, you know, because we look at the bigger picture. If we're losing that first game and it's really bad, we know that we could probably win that second game, you know, by wearing their pitcher out too. So, you know, we have Isabel Altreras, who's probably put some innings in. Naomi Montoya may get a chance to step in there. They're not like Liv in that. They're still young, not as accurate as she is. So that, I mean, is, like I said, it's, you know, for softball, that's kind of usually an issue that we have because we don't have as many pitchers. But like I said, down the line, you know, there's, you know, in the youth levels, there's a ton of pitchers starting to come up. So we should be able to have down the line at least 2 pitchers on a team.
Tommy McClure is my guest. He is the head coach for the Lady Spartan softball team. Any newcomers or freshmen that you think might be able to step in, whether it's a transfer or a freshman, doesn't have to be a freshman, but somebody who might be able to step in and compete for minutes or compete for some innings right away?
Yeah, we actually, like I said, we're going to have 2 players switching back and forth from third base and catcher. Freshman McKaylee Arrington, who moved in, she's got quite of a bat with her, and that she came in and that the other day she fouled one off and almost put it out of the fence, you know. that's just, you know, for a freshman, that's kind of amazing. Sure, especially, yeah. Especially at Peter Pan and that with that fence the way it is, you know. And but she's going to be splitting that time with Atlan Heffron, who they both will, you know, get an inning or get a game for catching and then game at third base. You know, I don't think both of them are ready for two full games at the catching position, so they'll do that. And then we have Chloe Steele, you know, just came off of going to state and wrestling and that, and she's working at shortstop right now.
Awesome. What's the schedule look like, Coach?
Right now, you know, next Friday we're going to Jamboree for Burlington Jamboree, and then we start the season off on April 27th in Ottawa, and then the next day we go to Wichita South, and then like we're a lot of road warriors this year. You know, our first game is at home is in. It's April 3rd is our first home game. Okay. March 27th, I get this and that, but. You know, our schedule this season is a little bit changed up in that. We knew we were going to be young in the infield, so we wanted to make sure that we were going to be able to be competitive and also to sit there and help ourselves out, you know, because, you know, 6 and 17, you're looking at one of the top seeds in the regionals. And, you know, that's tough to come right out of the bat. Last year we had May South, and they were just a monster team against us. You know, I think they hit like four home runs on us. And so we want to give ourselves that fighting chance. So we're trying to get at least, you know, now to the middle pack. I think we've got a good chance this year to get 10 to 14 wins. And that's kind of a good spot to be at for that starting round. 5A West is one of the tough regionals for softball. You know, you've got some really good teams because they're right below, you know, they're in areas that they're not 6A. You know, and so you get a lot of that talent that goes right into those. You know, that's what we're looking at, and I think we've got a good chance of doing some damage later on in the season.
Talk about the Centennial League. What's it look like?
You know, it's still one of the best leagues out there, you know. Washburn Rural was young last year, so they'll be pretty sturdy this year. Rumors for other teams, I think Junction City said he graduated 7 girls or something like that out of his starting lineup, but you know, you never know what they're going to pop in. And that Manhattan, I think their 2 pitchers were seniors last year, so they'll have 2 new ones there. And again, I try to be tentative with that because you never know. It may be a freshman who moves in that's, you know, she's an ace. And so I think, you know, looking at it, Hayden was, I mean, their defensively was one of the most sound teams that we faced. But I think, you know, we're going to try to go be competitive against them. You know, like last year we played that first game against Manhattan, and that's probably the best defensive performance I've ever had as a coach. You know, we lost that game 1-0 to a home run on, you know, and I take that one on myself in that because, you know, I made that pitch call and that, you know, trying to sneak one by her and that, and she's just a good hitter. But I mean, our girls were laying out the whole game. Outfield, I think, made 3 diving catches. You know, infield played well. They were hyped up. You know, we just couldn't carry that energy to the second game. So we're hoping to get some of those out of there too. Topeka, you know, we should have had those games. We were up on a lot of those games, and then we just kind of tripped at the end. I mean, we had weather in the game 1, so we had to come back and play that one over. But you know, I think we'll be fine.
Tommy McClure, the head softball coach for the Lady Spartans, once again, season opener is going to be next week against Ottawa, 27th? Okay, March 27th at Ottawa, and they'll be on the road for a while. Don't have a home match at Peter Pan Park until April. Best of luck to you and the Lady Spartans, Coach.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, it's time now because we're kind of doing this out of order, but this is the normal time that people expect to hear our Emporia Main Street Athletes of the Week. So if you had an athlete that had a great performance during the week, get a hold of Dylan, and you can get them featured on this segment. Dylan, how about our Emporia High? And a little bit weird because there's no Emporia High athletics this week. So I feel like we should skip this week. I don't think you did, though.
I made a decision, and Tim and I talked about this yesterday. Since there are no Emporia High, I'm going with 2 area this week.
Okay, perfect. Okay,
yeah.
So we've got
because
2 area.
We gave out 2 Emporia High plaques last week with the wrestlers.
Sure.
So I decided, let's do 2 area this week.
So give us our 2 Emporia Main Street area athletes of the week.
All right, so
I believe that they should be.
I think you're going to be right on this.
Okay, go
so
ahead.
So we're going with a male and a female.
Sure, so let's get the male first.
I'm going with Zach Oswald, Levo basketball, boys basketball team.
Correct answer.
Had a double-double in their state game, but he had 29 and 29 last Saturday against Hartford and McPherson.
Well, he had 15 and 15 in their state game.
So that's averaging 22 and 22 in two games.
Yeah, he only had 44 points and 44 rebounds in two games. Impressive. Yeah, that's player of the week worthy. And then how about your female area athlete of the week?
I'm going with someone that I got to see at state. Madeline Wilson,
yeah,
Chase County girls basketball team, 29 and 12, and kept Chase County alive in that game at some point. And I was just thinking, keep feeding her, everybody, because she was going off. And I was just like, keep going, keep going. I only have 40 up on my game notes. I was like, man, this is pushing it. I mean, I've had games where I've had to score 34 and 30, but not 40. So
yeah, Madeline Wilson was absolutely tremendous in that game.
A unanimous first team all league selection out of the Flint Hills League. Probably going to be a first teamer in 2A, but. So Zach Oswald of the Levo boys basketball team and Madeline Wilson of the Chase County girls basketball team, both repeat winners. So we made history again. And those are our Emporia Main Street Area Athletes of the Week, and we will resume in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Back to normal situation.
So a couple of weeks off from the award, but if you've got an athlete that had a great performance during the spring season, get a hold of Dylan, 342-1400. Email him, SherwoodD@KVOE.com, or make your submission online, KVOE.com/athlete. We'll do our normal kind of whip around segment, talk about sports. As I lose my voice in the middle of the segment, we'll be back here.
It.
Yeah, I know. I need to find it real quick. We'll be back. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com.
At Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia, our annual March Savings Mania event is back for another year, and the fun is here right now. It's Chevy Truck Month, and that means when you trade in your eligible model, you'll get $7,000 below MSRP on a new 2025 Chevy Silverado 1500 Custom 4x4, or get a 2025 Chevy Trailblazer LS, only $399 per month, with $1,500 cash or trade equity. Or a 2025 Chevy Trax 2RS model, just $399 per month after $3,000 cash or trade equity. And when you purchase any new or used vehicle in stock, you'll get 5 free throw attempts for an extra $100 savings for every free throw made up to $500. Our annual March Savings Mania sales event at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come on in today or visit us 24/7 at longbineauto.com. Chevy, together, let's drive. All rebates assigned to dealer. Tax and fees extra. See dealer for full details.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. A salute to the UCLA women's basketball team who won the Big Ten tournament in the program's first year competing in the league. The Bruins defeated their arch rival USC 72-67 in the title game to earn their 30th win of the year. UCLA only lost two games in the regular season, both to USC, but after their big revenge win last weekend, the Bruins regained the top ranking in the AP poll. Now head coach Corey Close and her team turn their attention to the D1 tournament, where they will pursue the program's first ever NCAA title.
You know, you never outperform your self-image. So if they don't see themselves as a championship team, it's really hard to coach them into those places. But when you have a thing that you go grab and you conquer and you do things that were really, really difficult and you find a way, it puts us in a different position psychologically, I think, going into the NCAA tournament.
We've got all the madness next on This Week in the NCAA.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth. Go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Tonight is a night of firsts. Southern Illinois Edwardsville is headed to the NCAA tournament for the first time at the Division I level as the winners of the Ohio Valley Conference Tournament.
Matt Taylor with the call right here on Westwood One during our Men's Championship Week slate. A reminder that once again, Westwood One will have full coverage of the Men's Division I tournament starting on Tuesday with the first four. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBineAuto.com. Three of us here in the studio will do our whip around now here for the next few minutes and get set for CC Perosh, the Lady Hornets and Hornet tennis teams, by the way, both ranked in the top 50, having tremendous years, and had an exhibition earlier this week where they beat top five teams from Cali County Community College, so the best of the best in junior college tennis, and those were some tough matches. I mean, there were some, you know, there's no referees in college tennis typically, so they're calling their own shots, and there was a bit of controversy in a couple of those matches, but, you know, you like that, it feels good, but they've got a chance to, both teams do. I think the women are playing two ranked teams, and the men are playing three ranked teams. They're each playing two Division II ranked teams. I think the men are playing a team that's top 25 or top 50 ranked from Division III. So the schedule is getting a lot tougher. But, boy, Coach Blackburn's come in, and as you guys know, Coach CeCe Perosh, the only female tennis coach in the history of Emporia State, and she's now in her second full year after 1 year as the interim, coaching both the men and the women. Boy, they both seem to be having their programs move in the right direction. Emporia State baseball keeps their winning streak going with a big inning yesterday, and they get the win over Roger State, going for a series win here today. Lady Hornets pick up two softball wins, so overall, pretty good stuff for Emporia State Athletics. Had two guys at the national meet as well. Unfortunately, the stay for Kansas State and for KU in Kansas City was somewhat short. They each won a game, but you know, off to Selection Sunday. I can't imagine that Kansas State will be getting a call from anybody.
Yeah, I would be surprised. They're 16-17.
I mean, I'm sure that fourth rung tournament.
Yeah, there was it the CBI or something like
maybe,
that.
I think there's maybe even something below the CBI but, now.
But I don't think they would accept the bid. I guess you never know. But yeah, and Kansas will wait until Sunday to see where they go. Obviously, they're not going to be a typically a high seeded KU team. Probably at best a six, more than likely a seven, somewhere in that general vicinity.
And I know Dylan is off next week, and they had great designs and plans of, oh, we're going to go down to Wichita, and we'll watch KU and have fun at the NCAA tournament. Dylan, I got some bad news for you.
go watch Houston, Houston and maybe Texas Tech.
You'll probably see Houston down there if KU gets seated in Wichita this year. And listen, KU's gotten screwed over by being in the wrong regional. But if they get down there, whoever the top seed is in that regional, they should send investigators to the NCAA. There's no way that KU deserves to be in Wichita.
There is no way they're going to be in Wichita.
Yeah, that cannot happen.
I just have a weird feeling.
And, you know, we'll just see what they do in the tournament. I mean, I suppose anything's possible. I mean, this team is so weird to try to predict. I mean, their ceiling could be high and their floor is pretty low.
Yeah, I agree. I think it really comes down to defense.
Yep.
You know, because they're statistically, I think they're probably top 10 in after this week. Now, they came into the tournament sixth in defensive efficiency. But like I said, we were talking about in your office, you know, they probably have, like, of the games that they've played this year, which is, what, about 30 or 40, they've probably got 30 games where they've played, been the best defensive team, and then the other five games, they've probably been, like, the 360th best defensive team to average it out, because, gosh, sometimes when they don't play defense, they're just not good at all.
And the two games in Kansas City, what, they gave up an average of 91 points?
Give up a bunch
of
points.
I mean, you know, yeah, the defense has been bad. The shooting's been inconsistent. You can go all the way down the line. I mean, you know, every player has had inconsistencies throughout the course of the season. It's a tough team to predict. So I don't know. I mean, it could be exciting or it could be a real quick quick exit from the tournament.
It could be. Very well be. Did you guys see Coleman Hawkins kind of answering the questions in the locker room?
Yeah, I tell you, that was tough to – I mean, obviously an emotional thing, but
I had a couple of thoughts on that. First of all, I thought, you know, here's this guy who's not making nearly what Jerome Tang's making, and I like Jerome Tang, but, you know, Jerome Tang's talked – you know, a reporter asked him a question afterward, like, hey, you know, how do you try to get that scoring and consistency fixed? And he kind of gives a snippy, flippant answer about, oh, that's not what's important to me right now. I know it's important to you and all. It's like, when were people supposed to ask you about this? It's after a game.
Yeah.
There was inconsistent scoring in this game. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you talking about? And then your player is out there being asked about, hey, you know, didn't meet expectations and all that, and he didn't this year, and he admitted that. And why is he's answering the question like a man, but you can't answer that question? Like, come on. I had so much respect for Coleman Hawkins. I know it was tough, and there was stuff on social media and all that, and it's just different because I've always been a guy. I remember hearing fans booing KU football, and people would tell me, no, they're not booing the players, they're booing the administration.
Because, no.
I was like, I don't want to hear that. You know, to me in college, you don't boo your players, nope. You don't boo your team ever, period. I never heard that when I was in school. And now it's different, though, because these guys are essentially, a lot of them are pro players.
Yep.
And I'm not going to tell people that they can't boo a guy that's, you know, making a couple million dollars that year to be there. That's totally fair. But at the same time, they're also just still, and I use the word lightly, but kids.
Yeah, it's a tough line to walk, and NIL has changed the complexion of college sports so much.
I know you, not in a way that you like.
Not in the way that I like. Don't get me wrong. Do I think these guys, should they be compensated for some of this stuff that they're bringing into the schools?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. But I think there has to be some type of a control system put into place. You know, it does put them in a tough light because now fans, particularly fans that may be not really necessarily true fans, who sure. really just want to support the school, it puts them in a position where, hey, you know what? You're getting paid now. Yeah, now we expect you to perform. And particularly, certainly, if people are putting money forth and contributing to NIL funds, and they expect a return on their investment.
Yeah.
And that puts these kids in a very difficult light. In one hand, it's great they're making the money, but on the other side, it puts a lot more pressure on them to go out and perform. And when they don't, you get things on social media. Social media, too, is another thing that certainly has changed our culture.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's pretty easy to hide behind a post and whatever you're going to put out there. But, man, yeah, you felt bad for Coleman Hawkins in terms of, I mean, you know, obviously it didn't end up the way he had hoped and when he went there to Kansas State. But, obviously, he answered the questions like a man.
Total respect for him for doing that.
Absolutely.
One other thing to mention here today, the NCAA Division II tournament already underway. Now, the MIAA men, they get started today. Washburn and Fort Hays State up there in Topeka. Lee Arena will be hosting today for Washburn. Yesterday, the women got started. Fort Hays State beat Southern Nazarene 81-72. Pitt State beat Harding 87-75. Missouri Western lost pretty big to Minnesota State Mankato 87-73. So it's become the MIAA Northern Sun Intercollegiate Conference Challenge between Fort Hays State and Southwest Minnesota State at 5 today, and then Pitt State and Mankato. That will be at 7:30 tonight, and then the championship for the Sweet 16 will be on Monday to go to the Elite Eight. So more basketball coming up today. Interested to see that. One quick programming note for next week before we send it to our final timeout. We'll get Coach Perosh's interview on. Obviously, I couldn't talk with her live today because they're in Florida and trying to plan things around. Obviously, they want to enjoy the beach. See, the thing is, like, the Lady Hornets softball team is down there too, But they got to play every single day, and they got a couple of morning days. Now, I think that they are playing early this morning, like maybe like
at 9. I think they're playing right now at 10:30.
Yeah, I think that it's like 9. I think they maybe start at 9 this morning. Yeah, or maybe they already started.
I think that's what I saw.
But so they're playing early, so I don't know if they let them go to the beach tonight, you know, at least to get something. Because that's part of the
absolutely.
You know, that they get to go to these fun places and do some stuff, see the beach, do some shopping. I don't know, whatever they – that's what Coach Roche said that the girls were excited to do for the tennis team.
Hey.
They wanted to do shopping, go to the beach.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's kind of a spring break trip for them. But next week, we are getting set as we get more into Diamond Sports. Next week on the show, he was not available to do it on the show live, but I talked with him this week. The voice of the Royals, Denny Matthews, will be on next week's Saturday morning sports talk. So make sure you make that. I don't know. I talked to him last year, and they won like 30 more games. So I don't know if we can duplicate that, but we'll give it our best shot. Great conversation with Denny Matthews. That's coming up next week. So let's go to our final timeout. We will have Coach C.C. Perosh, and then I'll come back. We'll button things up here and get you set for all of the upcoming action that we'll have on the airwaves, because we've got high school games. We've got college games today. We've got a ton of basketball coming up for you, not just this weekend, but over the next about month. We've still got plenty of NCAA tournament basketball, and, of course, we'll be your home for the NCAA tournament here in Emporia, right here on KVOE. So one final timeout. We'll come back with Coach C.C. Perosh in just a moment. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongvineAuto.com.
At Longvine Auto Plaza in Emporia, our annual March Savings Mania event is back for another year, and the fun is here right now. It's Chevy Truck Month, and that means when you trade in your eligible model, you'll get $7,000 below MSRP on a new 2025 Chevy Silverado 1500 Custom 4x4, or get a 2025 Chevy Trailblazer LS, only $399 per month, with $1,500 cash or trade equity, or a 2025 Chevy Trax 2RS model, just $399 per month after $3,000 cash or trade equity. And when you purchase any new or used vehicle in stock, you'll get 5 free throw attempts for an extra $100 savings for every free throw made up to $500. Our annual March Savings Mania sales event at Longvine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come on in today or visit us 24/7 at longvineauto.com. Chevy, together, let's drive. All rebates assigned to dealer. Tax and fees extra. See dealer for full details.
From ABC News Wall Street Weekend, a wild ride this week on Wall Street as President Trump's trade war ramps up. After the president's tariff threats on European boosts and stocks tumbling earlier this week, markets bounced back Friday, possibly on news that Congress averted a government shutdown. But the lingering uncertainty over tariffs continues to impact the economy. Consumer sentiment dropped 11% versus last month and 22% since December. And a new report from the S&P says there's a 25% chance of a recession over the next 12 months. Gold is often a haven during uncertainty, and the widespread economic turmoil sending the price of the metal to a record high, surpassing $3,000 an ounce for the first time this week. A tough time for Florida citrus growers dealing with the 1-2 punch of hurricanes and disease. Some farmers throwing in the towel, which is creating a boon for developers looking to buy that land and build homes for the state's rapidly growing population. Dave Packer, ABC News.
When you switch to Progressive, you could save bundling your home and auto. Then you could put that money towards some of the surprisingly more expensive things in life.
A Attention passengers, we've reached 10,000 feet and internet is now available for purchase.
I just paid hundreds for this flight and you can't even throw in internet? I'll just take the free pretzels.
Sorry, but I do have snack boxes for sale.
I'm just gonna sleep.
In that case, we are selling pillows and blankets as well.
I'll just breathe. That's free, right?
Life costs a lot, so bundle and you could save with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates and other insurers, not available in all states.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? This week only, all Pro Elite wash items and accessories are buy one, get one half off. That's car wash, tire cleaner, leather cleaner. All buy one, get one half off. Sponges and towels, we've got duo weave, waffle weave, whatever weave you want. Accessories too, Pro Elite floor mats, car covers, and more. Any Pro Elite item, buy one, get one half off. This week only at AutoZone.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbonAuto.com. The Emporia State tennis team picked up a win earlier this week, beating Cowley County Community College 4-3. They're headed off to Florida today. And so earlier this week, I caught up with their head coach, C.C. Perosh, as the top 50 Lady Hornets head down to Florida. Well, Coach, first of all, congratulations on the win against the Tigers on Tuesday. Overall, top to bottom, how do you guys think that you fared?
That was a great win. Definitely not an easy match. We knew that this team was very competitive. They had a really like close match against Washburn earlier this year, so we knew it would be like a really like a big challenge for us. And the girls is amazing. I think we definitely won as a team. That's how we were able to pull out this win. Double made a difference. Getting the double point is always a big advantage. Starting 1-0 up before singles, that's definitely makes a difference. That exactly was the same scenario against Rockers on Saturday, just like a few days ago. So the double point is really important, and I think that's definitely somewhere where we're very strong, and we had a lot of improvement over the last few months.
What would you say about your doubles teams, and what areas have they improved to give you that 1-0 advantage in the duel?
I think it's way more offensive. Like, we aggressive in double, we're getting for points, we go poach at the net. Like, the net game improved, made a difference, coming up to the net, put pressure on the opponent, and that's very rewarding. You get 3 points, you get some winners too, so that's something we were not able to do last year that we're able to do this year, and that makes a huge difference in overall.
We're talking with Emporia State women's tennis coach C.C. Perosh. Now, you guys are headed out to Florida, and you're doing some things that haven't really been done around here. Top 50 ranking, top 50 win. How does that make you feel in just, you know, a very short time here as the head coach of your own program, the first female tennis coach in Emporia State history to kind of be doing things and changing the narrative around Lady Hornet tennis?
Definitely, first of all, feels amazing winning. That's, you know, I think as an athlete, just winning is always the goal. So when it's paying off, like, it feels amazing, great, and definitely good for the confidence. That gives us a lot of confidence. We started strong with 2-3 win in a row, and that really helped us boost the confidence for the girls. And I think it's also like a reward of all the hard work. We've been working hard for 2 years. Last year, we didn't get any reward of our hard work because we had a tough season. The record was negative, but it was a long process. And I think like some people will see this year work, but it's a 2 years work. Like, most of my team is the same than last year. I just have one new girls freshman this year, but the team is the same, and I think it's a 2 years work that is finally pay off. So it's very like good feeling. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, and I remember you talking last year and saying, gosh, you know, Blake, if we just had one match swing our direction, we probably go from a losing record to a winning record, because there were just so many that were 4-3, 5-2, 4-3, yeah. And they were so close. It was just, you know, tiebreaker here, mm-hmm. a tiebreaker there. I know in tennis there's so many different areas in terms of mm-hmm. serve, receive, volleying, yes. you know, and obviously the game in between the years is a big part of it too. Yes. But is there one thing that you feel like maybe has pushed these matches and tipped them in your direction this year?
It's all you mentioned, just getting the double point, which we didn't get last year. That's why we had a lot of 4-3 loss, which we did this year. All the tiebreak you mentioned, now we're able to get those wins and be stronger. That's how we won today. We got the clinch with a super tiebreak from my number five that was able to pull through this this win. So I think it's definitely mental toughness. Also experience, as you said, like we lost all of that, but I always tell my girls, you win or you learn. We definitely learn.
Sure.
And this is proof of that. The girls are very resilient and they learned from last season, and now we're able to be on the other side and make the difference.
Talk to us a little bit about some of your top performers on the double side. Who's been kind of the team that set the tone? Because even within the doubles point, which sure is nice to get that first win, mm-hmm. and to get 2 out of 3, who's been that team that you've been relying on the most in the doubles?
I would say last week my number 2 and 3, but today it's number 1 and 3 that made the difference. So I think it's a team, everyone, every spot has a definite, usually 2 and 3 was stronger, but today one made the difference. They had a great double, and we won the double in a tiebreak. Like, he was deciding, we won number 1, we lost number 2, so he was all on number 3. They were able to push through the tiebreak and get the win in the tiebreak. Like, they won 7-1 in the tiebreak, so very solid mentally. They went for it, and I think it's always, as I'm saying, learning, because the exact team that won the tiebreak today is the one that lost it against Lubbock for the double point a week ago, which Lubbock is a top 10 team nationally. So again, we learned from that. They lost the double point in the tiebreak, and now they were able to bring the point to the team today in the tiebreak.
Speaking of learning, you know, you had 1 year where you were kind of thrust in, not really prepared, but you were the director and coached both teams. What did you learn in that year that has helped propel yourself and give yourself this opportunity? And now, obviously, here in year 2 of being the full-time permanent head coach of the women's team, kind of your own confidence and understanding of where you want to take this program?
I think I'm learning as much as my players. I keep talking about learning, but I'm also learning myself. Like, as a head coach, it's my second year, so I took some time at the end of the first season to reflect on everything that was very positive and what didn't work. And I was like trying to be like, hey, how can I change myself or me or even the way I talk to the girls, like, to make the difference. And I think now I have a very close like bond with all of my players, and that helps me find the right word. Maybe, you know, those moments of pressure, like, maybe keep it calm, like, don't add any pressure on them, stay calm and stay positive, very supportive. I'm learning, you know, the way of coaching, the way of talking to the girls, because every girl is different. So I'm using in my everyday like life as a coach my experience as a player, but again, I'm a different player than all of them. So what I would like to hear as a player is different of what I need to tell them, and that's the work I did on myself, and I'm definitely learning every day, and they help me. You know, I always say like I'm working for them, and they help me as much as help them.
Now, you've mentioned that you've got a trip to Florida coming up, mm-hmm. this weekend. I'm assuming that the ladies are pretty excited about this.
Definitely. We would not be excited about going to Florida. You know, it's definitely something amazing. I think it's really good for us for team bonding. Like, it's going to help the girls like getting close to each other. They already are, so I don't really need that, but it's always nice to have those moments of fun. You know, like, the season is long, it's kind of short, but it's long, like, physically.
Sure.
It feels like it. So I think I have a moment of fun where it's not just all about like winning and this pressure. We'd be like, we want this pressure, we want to win, but also you need to enjoy the journey, and going to Florida is also a reward where like we can enjoy it. Of course, we're going to get there to win, compete hard, get this confidence, but also time to just relax and enjoy life.
So you're saying there might be a beach trip somewhere in there?
Yes. The beach is not going to be very far, so either some shopping, another girl, some... we might go to the mall and also go to the beach and just have fun there and also get some... tilts and light.
Of course, of course.
Well, talking about the MIAA, because you still got a lot of MIAA matches left. MIAA, as everybody knows, is a very difficult conference. A lot of good competition. How do you kind of handicap the MIAA and your competition as you'll get more into that as you return from Florida?
So that's why the goal was to have a couple teams like that ranked nationally to prepare to this level. Because we have two teams right now, Kearney, Nebraska Kearney and Washburn, that are ranked top 10 in the nation. So that's definitely going to be a big challenge. But I think the girls are very competitive, and we're ready to step in and compete against those teams. The good part of tennis is you know, anything is possible. It's not just one team versus the other one. We have 7.7 matches. So we need the team to be able to bring their best game on this day. And I'm confident that they're going to be able to bring this level. We lost 4-3 against Washburn last year. So that shows us that we do have the level to compete against top 10 team in the nation, sorry.
No, it's okay. Well, last question for you, I guess. How does your expectation kind of change? You've mentioned you've got all this experience back with only one new player on this team. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you guys are producing some very good results to start the season with your own top 50 ranking, the first ever top 50 win in the CC Perosh era coming very recently. How does that change what you're expecting out of this team and what hopefully the girls are expecting of themselves?
I think with girls, it's all about confidence. Is my work from last semester and this semester is definitely tennis first, but it's also make them believe they have this potential. I believe they have this potential, but sometimes they don't see it themselves. And it's having them to bring this confidence on the court. And we've been working they've been playing this level in practice. Now the work is we've been doing it every day. You can do it in a match, and you have the potential to do it. You just have to believe in yourself, and that's something I've been working a lot with the girls, with a lot of individual meeting, one-on-one, to make them understand that they just have to believe. Anything is possible in tennis as long as you fight and you bring anything on the court, your best self and your best tennis, you'll do it. And I think it's working. All of them have been in a different mindset, way more confidence, and now the results are coming in our favor. We have the ranking, first ranking for the girls. That's all confidence boost, and that's the secret, I guess, confidence.
CC Perosh, head coach of the Lady Hornet tennis team, heading down to Florida. Coach, enjoy it. Best of luck to you and the Lady Hornets. Don't forget your sunscreen.
Of course. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Always good to talk with CC Perosh there, and best of luck to her and the Lady Hornets this weekend. Hornet baseball is at Trussler Sports Complex today and tomorrow, facing Roger State. So if you'd like to get out and watch them play, I think that I am going to be heading to White Auditorium. Of course, the 5A state championships, those are wrapping up today, and I think I got to go see Cape and Mount Carmel and Highland Park. Now, my former high school teammate Michael Williams, he was our point guard at Topeka West. He's the head coach of the Running Scots now, so we'll see if the Scots can beat it. Hey, gives me no pleasure to cheer for the Scots, but I also used to do the football for Bishop Carroll, so I'm not exactly cheering for Cape and Mount Carmel anyway, but that should be a heck of a game. Two great coaches, a really young coach in Coach Williams and an experienced coach in Coach Eck. Should be a great game. I think that's a 6:15 tip-off tonight at White Auditorium here in the 5A state championship and another great state tournament for Emporia, Kansas, which brings us to our calendar. So let's go ahead and run you down here and see what is happening coming up on our airwaves. And it all begins at noon. At noon, we've got the SEC Championship semifinals on KVOE. And then we've also got the 1A Division II Girls State Tournament third place game, Lebo versus Attica, 11:50 pregame, and the tip at noon on Country 101.7. 5:30. We'll transition to the Big East Conference Championship on KVOE. All that coverage from Westwood One. And then late night tonight, 6 o'clock for the pregame and the tip at 6:15, the 1A Division I Boys State Tournament Championship, Olpe versus South Central. Michael Deeker will have the call on Country 101.7. Then we're moving Vosses de Emporia up on Sunday to 11 o'clock, and we will have for you three more basketball broadcasts. The SEC Championship at noon will join the tip-off, and then the American Athletic Conference Championship. That will begin just after 2 o'clock, and then at 5, Selection Sunday on KVOE. We'll get you all the brackets, everything that you need. And of course, the first four starts on the 18th, and we'll have first four coverage for you next week. First round coverage in the evening. Obviously, we're not going to have any mid-day basketball games during the weekday as normal, but then it's wall-to-wall basketball coverage over the weekend, and certainly we are expecting and anticipating that we're going to get some KU games in the tournament now. How many? How many weekends they play? Who knows? But we're excited for all the basketball we've got coming up for you here on KVOE. Whole calendar's online, kvoe.com/calendar. You can listen to all that stuff online as well, kvoe.com/listen or via the Odyssey app. That's it. Really appreciate it. Once again, Denny Matthews will be a part of the show next week as we preview Royals baseball. Thank you very much to our guests. Of course, that would be C.C. Perosh, Emporia State tennis coach, Tommy McClure, Emporia High softball coach. For Dylan, for Tim, this is Blake Cripps. This is KVOE Emporia. We'll rejoin the Infinity Sports Network in just a moment. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your Saturday.